We don't often talk about user experience or UX when organizing events, but we should. How is it for a guest to queue up at the entrance of your event? And how easy is it to figure out who's on stage when and where at your conference? My studio guest today is Erik Reis. Hi Erik, welcome to our studio.
Well, thank you. Hi Kevin, it's a pleasure to be here.
We're going to talk about user experience. But then my first question should be, what is user experience?
That's a very good question, because there are lots of definitions out there, and they all kind of boil down to, happy customers buy more. Dirk Niemeyer has written some wonderful stuff, Jesse James Garrett. The problem, I think, is that the business community gets a little confused, because either, we kind of state the obvious, happy customers buy more, or we get down into some very, very tactical things like, this is how you do wireframes, and this is how you do something else. And there's something in the middle that's missing. And so about 10, 15 years ago, I came up with a definition that we have used at my company, FatDux, that has been very, very successful and that the business community understands. Basically, user experience is the net impression left after a series of interactions. And these interactions can be between people, devices, and events. They can be between you and me, as we're interacting on Skype now, or devices. My computer is talking to your machinery down in Holland. It can also be events, like it's going to rain. I can't really stop it from raining. But anyway, the net impression after all of these things. And so if you start to chart out these touch points or interactions or whatever you want to call them, then you'll discover that there are things that are important for the business and there are things that aren't important for the business. And there are things that you can do something about and there are other things that you can't do anything about. And if you chart them out on an axis, you say, this is the stuff we can do. This is stuff we really don't have control over. This is important to the business. This isn't very important for the business. If you're not doing the stuff up in that corner there, you're not really doing user experience. But the business community understands that. And even though it's a subjective sort of, this is more important than that, the point is that you can start to make an action plan and say, all right, this is stuff that we need to be working on. Yeah. And then you can figure out, is it wireframes, is it something else? All of this stuff is important and not very difficult to figure out. And what I like about this definition, what our clients have liked about it, is that it doesn't really disagree with any of the more academic descriptions out there. And it doesn't disagree with any of the tools that one uses in the UX toolbox. And so it served us very well, and I'm happy to share it with your audience. It works and it's easy.
If you apply this idea to an event, then I suppose a touch point can be queuing up to buy a ticket, walk in, experience to order a drink, all those kind of touch points.
Oh, absolutely. And then the degree of granularity depends on what you're trying to achieve. Let's say there's a walk-in. So how is the signage? Can people find the venue? How do they get the address? Do they get it from Eventbrite? Do they get it from your website? Is there a link to Google Maps? Can they find the site once they get there? Is there a sign on the door that says, go in and go up to the second floor or whatever they have to do? So the signage, that's a touch point. The Google Maps is a touch point. There are a lot of things before somebody actually gets up to the registration desk. And then the next thing is, all right, are you going to write them a badge by hand, or do you have a printer so that you can make a nice badge that looks like all the other badges? All of these are touch points, and many of them are controllable.
The whole point of talking about user experience is, of course, that you want to improve the user experience on your event. I think that should be the goal.
Of course.
How would you do that as an organizer? Where do you start if you say, okay, I want to improve the user experience on my events?
Well, you can use a customer journey map or something like that, where there are tools that have been used in service design for 50 years. Now, mind you, just between you and me, the user experience community thinks they invented all this, and they didn't. The tools have been around for a long time. But just chart out the touch points. If people are going to register online, are they getting a confirmation? Can they pay by credit card, or can they pay through PayPal? Are they able to can you send an invoice to a company so that people don't these are all touch points that you can arrange. You want to make it better for the user. Yeah, get the program out there. Put it in a readable form. Maybe you're going to print it on the conference badge so that people don't have to keep going to their smartphone or whatever to or a big board to find out what's going on. I'm thinking here about a conference type of situation. Otherwise, you know, it could be an event like a company picnic. And then, yeah, all right, so when is it going to be? Where should one meet up? What kind of clothes should one wear? Is there anything that one should bring with them? You're like, oh, there's a chance to go swimming, so bring your swimming suit. The more information that you can get ahead of time, the better, so that people have that shared frame of reference.
So that shared reference, what is that about?
Right. Well, a shared frame of reference means that the designer has something in mind, and the person who is going to use or interact with whatever the designer has built or designed, that they're all on the same page, that they understand each other. We see this in website design, where there isn't sufficient content to actually explain what it is you were about to buy or what the app is going to do or whatever. For example, if I say, I am holding in my hand, can you see it? Mm-hmm. I am holding in my hand an ordinary 60-watt light bulb, okay? And it has an Edison E27 screw-in base. E27, that stands for Edison 27 millimeter, which was the standard he introduced in 1909. All right, so screw-in base, E27, standard 60-watt light bulb. Do you know what I'm holding in my hand?
Yeah, the light bulb, yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. So we're on the same page, right? Mm-hmm. We have a shared frame of reference?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. What color is it? Yeah, see, well, the thing is, you know, is it red, green, blue, clear, frosted? Is it 110 volt? Is it 220 volt? Is it burned out? There are all kinds of things that I didn't tell you about that light bulb. And so we don't really have a shared frame of reference. Mm-hmm. I trick you into thinking that we had one. I'm going to put the light bulb down. I tricked you into thinking that we were on the same page. And I gave you a lot of information about the E27, and which is all true, except it's not really all that relevant. This is where a lot of marketers go wrong. We say, ooh, this is our unique feature, and we're going to talk about that. But then they forget to just say very basic information about their product.
Because they think people will already know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's wrong. You can't take these things for granted. There have been all kinds of studies the last 10, 15 years that long content outsells short content, and that the better your description, the more you will sell. But still, you know, there are things that live on the internet forever, like, ooh, links should be blue and underlined, ooh, text shouldn't be longer than 10 lines, and so on. Mm-hmm. That's are you familiar with Alice in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, okay, well, so Alice, she's, you know, gone down the rabbit hole, and she's in this crazy world, and she runs into the Queen of Hearts, who is playing croquet with a flamingo, and the Queen of Hearts keeps saying, off with her head, off with her head, and Alice is very flustered, and the King of Hearts says, look, you know, where did you come from? And Alice stammers and stutters, and the King of Hearts said, now, calm down, you start at the beginning, and then you go on until the end, and then you stop. And that's how long web content should be. You tell your story. And there are too many companies that don't tell their story. And in terms of events, also, yeah, what's the event about? What is the purpose? What kind of people are going to be there? What is the program? When is it going to start? All of these things are important to establishing that shared frame of reference. If you're going to arrange a picnic and people are going to be outdoors, then if there's a chance it rains, I mean, I live here in Denmark, where we have 161 rain days a year.
you have an umbrella by default.
Have an umbrella by the phone. If you're going to arrange something outside, you at least have to have a plan B, that people can go indoors, or their pavilions set up in the garden so that people can get out of the rain, or umbrellas if they're going to go for a walk through the woods, whatever. But you have planned for something perhaps going wrong. And certainly, you know, rain at a picnic is kind of a big deal. Mm-hmm. So that's something that certainly you should think about. in terms of a speaker not showing up, yeah, it's good to have a plan B, to at least understand that you may have to rearrange the order. For example, find a speaker who is there, who is willing to do their talk earlier, maybe extend the lunch hour. There are a lot of ways that you can do it, but you don't want to have to be thinking about this thing at the very last minute. You want to have a plan. Generally, speakers don't cancel 10 minutes before. I mean, happily. Sometimes they do.
Yeah.
But you at least need to have an idea what you are going to do to cover that gap. It may be somebody who's there who has a talk that they would be glad to give, something that, you know, they can just sort of pull out of their pocket.
Yeah.
I certainly have a couple of those, and on occasion I've attended conferences where I was not a scheduled speaker, and the conference organizer has come up and said, "Oh, will you talk to us tomorrow because somebody's canceled?"
Yeah.
I say, sure.
Erik, I really want to thank you for your time and sharing your ideas on user experience.
Well, thank you for having me, Kevin. It's been a pleasure being here.
Okay, Erik, thank you very much. And you at home, thank you for watching our show. I hope to see you next week.